Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Worship Q&A podcast. I'm Dwayne Moore. Each week, we try to answer questions that worship leaders are asking. Today, the question is, should we pay our church musicians? Well, that's a really important question that many have asked. But before we get into that question, I want to tell you about our worship leader coaching program we are starting in January. I'm very excited about this program. It's a three-phase program, beginning with phase one, influence, phase two, impact, and phase three, we call legacy. Imagine dropping a pebble into water and it rippling out. The first phase is to work on your own personal influence and leadership. So we're going to pour into you for 10 straight weeks, some pretty intense stuff. We're going to assign you with an encourager who will call you and work with you on a personal growth plan. And then, as those ripples spread out, we will go to phase two, how you can impact your group to make a bigger impact to help them grow as musicians, as spiritual leaders and ministers. And then finally, in phase three, the ripples actually cause other ripples in the water. Your leadership affects others as you develop other leaders on your team and around you to leave a legacy for the next generation. Needless to say, I'm very excited about this worship leader coaching program, and I hope you can be a part of it. Go to our website, nextlevelworship.com, and click on the training tab to find out more information and to sign up. Our space is limited, so you need to go ahead and get signed up as soon as you can. Well, let's jump into this question. Should we pay our church musicians? The short answer is yes, if they meet certain criteria. To help us answer this difficult question, we first need to look at the Levite musicians. We're not told in Scripture if the Levite musicians were actually paid for the services. However, in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, it states that they stayed in the rooms of the temple when they were on duty, and that they were exempt from other duties because they worked day and night as musicians. We also know that the Levite priests were able to eat from the sacrifices brought to the temple. Therefore, we can conclude that at the very least, the Levite musicians' expenses were covered. In addition, Jesus said, "The worker deserves his wages." And that's in Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Thus, one could make the case that musicians who work in the church could at times receive payment for their services. That leads us to the practical side of considering whether or not someone should be paid on our teams. Beyond the obvious question of if our church can afford to pay someone, I also try to look at four considerations regarding that person before I make a decision to pay someone as a musician or a technical person. The first consideration is the time that will be required. How much time are we asking of this person to commit to help in our church? If it's honoring to God to give 10% of our money as a tithe to Him, then it's reasonable to say we can also honor Him by giving 10% of our time. If we add up the waking hours of a work week, then that's about 80 hours. 10% of 80 hours is 8 hours, which is well within reason, I believe, to serve in the church from week to week. If we expect musicians to attend a rehearsal each week, by the time they get to the rehearsal location, set up their equipment, rehearse, and then come back home, they've probably invested 2 or more hours during the week. Then on the weekend services, if they come on a Sunday morning at, say, 7 a.m., they rehearse and play during the services, perhaps they will have given 5 hours or more. That can add up to be between 8 and 9 hours each week. At that level of time commitment, we are basically asking a volunteer to tithe their time. On the other hand, if we ask a musician to return on a Sunday evening also to play again, and if we include yet another service or rehearsal during the week, then their hours at church can climb to 10 hours or more, which exceeds their tithe of time, if you will. Thus, with that much time, we may want to consider at least reimbursing some of their expenses, as they did for the Levite musicians. The second consideration is talent. When I say talent, I mean a broader word than pure raw talent. A lot of people have wonderful, amazing talent, yet they've not developed it. We need to consider both their talent and their skill level. What have they done with their natural ability? Have they got experience built in so that they are a cut above the average person as a player or singer, or as a technical person running the sound and lights? Do they possess certain skills that would justify them being paid? That's a subjective question. You'll have to decide what level you consider to be professional or worthy of payment. However, if they've worked and invested time and money into developing their skills and their talents, then some amount of pay might be appropriate. The third consideration is tasks. Ask yourself, what tasks have we put on this person? What are we expecting them to do? What are their responsibilities? If he or she is the leader of the band, for example, then that person has more weight of responsibility than just showing up and playing an instrument or pushing some buttons. He or she is leading a group of people. That's an entirely different level of challenge and involvement. If their tasks are above what is average and what is normally asked of a volunteer, then perhaps they should be paid in some way. The final consideration we should take into account is one's intents. What is the intent of his or her heart? We can't judge a person's heart, of course. We don't know exactly what they're thinking or how they're feeling or what their motives really are. Nonetheless, if we invest enough time with someone and watch their life and ask other people who know them, then we can get a pretty good idea of the intent of their heart. Perhaps they have a track record of just playing where they are being paid. And when they don't get paid, they get upset and leave and go somewhere else. If that's the case, then one can safely assume the intent of their heart is mostly for financial gain. However, if a person is already joyfully playing on our team, even when he or she is not being paid, then that probably means the person is more concerned with ministry than money. I prefer to pay someone who's already demonstrated a heart for leading others in worship and for our team. Let me give you some suggestions before you commit. I encourage you, first of all, not to mention money until you've thought it through very, very carefully. Because once you mention it, there's no backing out. Be sure you pray about it thoroughly. Talk to your pastor and leadership. Make a solid decision about the valid reasons that you have for wanting to do this. Ask yourself if it's really necessary. Can you substitute this person for someone else? Can you rotate this person in and out every other week? That way you won't maybe need to pay them for excessive hours. Secondly, if you do hire them or put them on a payroll in any way to reimburse them for their expenses, be sure you communicate it to the whole team. Don't try to hide it. Band members know each other and they talk. If word gets out that you're paying one but not paying another, then people will start to assume things that aren't correct. They could get upset and misunderstand your motives. Be open with them about it and maybe explain some reasons for your decision to begin paying or reimbursing certain people. By the way, it's best not to divulge to the team how much each person is being paid. Try to avoid sharing specific amounts. My third suggestion is to have him or her sign an agreement before you begin paying them. Whatever you expect of them, make sure it's in writing. This is very important. Sit down and go over those things with them, like how many times you expect them to be at rehearsals, or how many times you expect them to play. Make sure everything is clearly stated and then read it over with them. That way there's no misunderstandings. Hey, I hope these considerations and tips have helped you to make a more informed decision based on God's word and on common sense, experience, and wisdom that we can draw from each other. Thank you for joining us today for this Worship Q&A podcast episode, and I hope you can join us next week. Each episode you can find as a text version on our website at nextlevelworship.com/blog. Blessings to you. Please let us know if we can help you in any way. Thanks.